From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, 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 what's up, beautiful people? It is Wednesday, July 29, 2015, and you are now locked into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have a ton to talk about on today's show. Oh boy, it is a loaded day. Of course, because yesterday, actually, when we look at yesterday's show, right after we got off the air, some pretty big news happened concerning Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. The punishment from the NFL was withheld, and they are sticking to that 4-game suspension for Tom Brady due to his role, quote unquote, in the whole Deflategate situation. I don't know if you guys saw the press conference this morning, but Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots and CEO of the New England Patriots, he had some harsh words and a lot of criticism for Roger Goodell, commissioners of the NFL and the league as a whole. We'll play a bit of that for you and just really dissect this entire story. So we'll have plenty of Deflategate discussion. We'll also welcome Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. You don't want to miss that chat because the Hall of Fame ceremony is now just a day away. I actually got off the phone with Bob moments ago, and he is running around, pulling his hair out right now, trying to get this thing organized. So Bob will join me via phone to talk about this year's enshrinement. Also, Le'Veon Bell gets his suspension reduced with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the University of Michigan has decided to do away with their Legends jerseys. All of that, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But hey, here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this July 29th. New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft said today he unequivocally supports Tom Brady, who has been suspended 4 games for his role in Deflategate. The National Football League, quote, still has no hard evidence of anybody doing anything to tamper with inflation levels of footballs. Kraft said that during a press conference at the team's training camp. Brady, today, criticized the league on his Facebook page and defended his breaking of the cell phone that contained more than 10,000 text messages, saying, quote, I did nothing wrong, and no one in the Patriots organization did either. Folks, again, that is the prime focus of today's Current Sports show. What do you think about Tom Brady, getting the 4-game suspension, it being upheld by the NFL? And what do you think of Robert Kraft's comments as well? And again, we'll play a snippet of that in just a sec. Call in right now, 517-355-9527. Pittsburgh Steelers running back and former Michigan State running back great Le'Veon Bell's suspension has been reduced from 3 games to 2 as a result of a settlement between the NFL and NFL Players Association. Now, the league confirmed the 2-game suspension in a statement saying Bell also will be held without 2-game checks for violating its substance abuse policy. Bell was suspended in April for his August 2014 arrest on DUI and marijuana possession charges. Kurt Casale homered twice for the Tampa Bay Rays again on Tuesday to propel the Tampa Bay Rays to a 10-2 victory over the Detroit Tigers at Tropicana Field. Tigers ace David Price took his 4th loss of the season after surrendering 5 runs on 7 hits in 6 innings. With the trade deadline looming this Friday, Price, we may have seen the last of him as a Tiger. The Tigers now fall into 4th place in the American League Central behind the surging Chicago White Sox. Tigers have an overall record of 48-52. The Lansing Lugnuts swept the Midwest League's weekly awards, with Southpaw Shane Dawson named as the league's Pitcher of the Week and infielder Jason Lebobligian named as Player of the Week for July 20th to the 26th. Now, another former Lugnut who was also on Current Sports not too long ago, he was also honored at being pitcher Chase DeYoung, named as the California Pitcher of the Week for July 20th to 26th after firing 5 perfect innings with 9 strikeouts for Rancho Cucamonga. All right, the Detroit Lions will wear a yet-to-be-unveiled helmet decal this season in honor of Hall of Fame tight end Charlie Sanders, who died earlier this month after a battle with cancer. Now, Sanders spent 43 years with the Detroit Lions as a player, coach, broadcaster, and scout. He played 10 years with the organization from 1968 to 1977 and was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2007. Very nice ode to Sanders with that that decal that will be worn by the Detroit Lions. All right, Frank Epetropoulos has crossed Big Ten East enemy lines after initially deciding to stop playing football, and he announced his newfound status as a Michigan State walk-on receiver. This way, Tuesday on Twitter, tweeting, quote, "True Greek Spartan." Now, the 6'1", 206-pound Frank is a former three-star recruit from Upper Arlington, Ohio, who played at Ohio State in 2012 and 2013, redshirting in 2012 and catching one pass and playing in four games as a redshirt freshman. He announced before last season that he was giving up football to focus on academics and preparation for medical school. But all that's out the window now. All right. The Michigan Legends football jerseys have been retired. U of M announced yesterday that the four-year program under which retired numbers were worn by current players will be discontinued. The Wolverines indicated to interim athletic director Jim Hackett that they were not interested in the program. And Rory McIlroy will not be fit for next week's WGC Bridgestone Invitational in Ohio. The reigning champion has told organizers that he will not be defending his title at the Firestone Country Club as he continues his recovery from a ruptured ankle ligament that was suffered due to playing in a soccer game with friends earlier this month. There is no timetable as to when he will return to golf. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in right now, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, it's about that time to start the show.
Back in May, I had to make a difficult decision that I now regret. I tried to do what I thought was right. I chose not to take legal action. I wanted to return the focus to football. Now, the league has taken the matter to court, which is a tactic that only a lawyer would recommend. Once again, I want to apologize to the fans of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. I was wrong to put my faith in the league.
What they do, they smile in your face.
All the time they want to take your place, the backstabbers.
Backstabbers.
I keep getting all these visits from my friends.
Oh boy, backstabbers. Yeah, that's the way Robert Kraft, owner and CEO of the New England Patriots, is certainly viewing the National Football League as a whole. Welcome to the show. You are tuned into Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Strong comments from Kraft. And I tell you what, man, when we got off the air yesterday, you know, I was looking at my phone and the stories just began to roll in. I mean, right after we got off the air, of course, you know, the Tom Brady suspension of four games that the league initially ruled upon was upheld after weeks and weeks of debate and weeks of staring at our televisions and thinking, what in the world is the NFL waiting on? What is Roger Goodell waiting on? Can you please just tell us what is going to happen to Tom Brady within this organization so we can move on with our lives? And then finally it came out. Right after we got off the airwaves, it came out that Roger Goodell and the NFL, they are going to stick to their guns and suspend Tom Brady for the first four games of next year's NFL season. And then what happened minutes after that? I look at my phone again. Then Le'Veon Bell. Good news for Le'Veon Bell. He actually got his suspension reduced, as I stated in our Quick Hit headliners, to a 2-game suspension instead of 3. So good news for Le'Veon, bad news for Tom Brady. But just, you know, everywhere you look at right now, everyone is talking about the New England Patriots. And it's so amazing to me because if you remember, folks, this Deflategate scandal started in January. And here we are, 2 days away from the last day in July. It's about to be August, and we are still talking about this story, which now has so many pages in its book. I mean, it's unbelievable how many ways you can go with this conversation. And again, I want to get your thoughts on it because it would be a crime to ignore this story. It's so big. It is the big story in sports. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I first want to talk about the Robert Kraft press conference that it took place around about 11 a.m. this morning. You know, when I got notification of it, I tuned right into the ESPN app. They streamed it live. And, you know, I thought it was very crafty of Robert Kraft to go in there before Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, before Bill got a chance to say a word, Robert Kraft comes in there and just steals the show, really steals the show. And initially, when the press conference was broadcasted and when it was pubbed on ESPN, they said it was just going to be Bill Belichick. I'm thinking that Bill Belichick is just going to go up there and address the media, which is intriguing in itself, right? But it was a very clever move for Robert Kraft to take the pressure and the attention from Bill Belichick, to take the pressure and attention from his players and just the hoopla that has ensued with this story, and to put it on himself and to deliver some very critical words. Very critical words of Roger Goodell and the NFL. He didn't hold back his tongue, folks. If you saw the press conference, I mean, Robert Kraft, he had an entire speech written out. You heard a bit of it there. And after he's done, Bill Belichick, you know, he goes to the podium and is basically like, you know, a dead fish. I mean, he doesn't answer anything. He takes the PR standpoint. Any question that is fired at him, he basically says, we're focusing on practices right now. We're focused on the team. He did a great job of playing Neo from The Matrix and dodging a lot of bullets, point blank period. So no surprise there. But Robert Kraft went in there and had a lot to say. And as you heard, I mean, he stood up for Tom Brady, who in many ways is like a son to him. And again, he deferred the attention away from his team, as well as he should have. I thought it was a great move from Robert Kraft. And at the end of the day, he declared that he is taking this thing all the way. He's all in right now, folks. It is now the New England Patriots and Robert Kraft versus the NFL. Who would have fathomed that when this story came out about deflated footballs in the AFC Championship game, who would have fathomed that it would have gotten to this point? And I can understand where Robert Kraft is coming from to a certain degree, folks. I got to say that. Because if you look at it, what initially happened right after we found out about this whole Deflategate situation? A few weeks went by, the Super Bowl goes by, the Patriots hoist the trophy. And, you know, this situation still is a big story, you know, and weeks go by. And next thing we know, the NFL hands out a $1 million fine and takes away not one, but 2 draft picks from the New England Patriots. And did Robert Kraft and the Patriots fight that? No. They said, okay, we'll take that. We'll take that bullet. And Robert Kraft made that move. Him and the Patriots made that move based on good faith that the Tom Brady suspension would be reduced from 4 games. But that did not happen. And because it didn't happen, Robert Kraft is an unhappy man. He thought that taking that $1 million fine and complying with the draft pick takeaways that he was, quote unquote, falling on the sword. But no, that didn't happen. That did not happen. And this is a power move from the NFL, folks. The reason why Roger Goodell in the NFL is still sticking it to Tom Brady, 4-game suspension, the reason why they are putting their foot down is because Roger Goodell is trying to say that, hey, I'm a powerful dude, and if you mess with the integrity of the NFL in any way, we have no tolerance for it. You are going to suffer. That's the message that Roger Goodell in the NFL wants to send. Even though there is really no hardcore evidence that you could point to say that, okay, Tom Brady knew what was going on here. But there is probable cause, without a doubt. And then if you saw, you know, the story unfold and the reason, you know, that was, you know, backed up by Goodell and the NFL as to why they decided to stick with the 4-game suspension. The big reason why they did, why they came out and said they stuck to their guns is because of the cell phone that was destroyed by Tom Brady. Now, Brady came out today on his Facebook page. I don't know how Facebook has become an official way to make a statement nowadays. Isn't that crazy? That's kind of crazy in itself, right? But the reason why, you know, Brady is sticking to his guns is because he is saying that he replaced his cell phone after his attorneys made it clear to the NFL that his actual phone device would not be subjected to investigation under any circumstances. Basically saying that the NFL said, okay, we want to see your phone, but at the end of the day, you don't have to give it to us. But they did want it. They did want it. So, if you're Tom Brady, you know, the move that he made does look a little fishy. Because, again, why replace your phone around that time period when you know this investigation is going on? When you know that, they may want to take a look at my phone to see what's in there. I mean, now we'll never know. We'll never know what exactly was in that phone. Thus, still aiding Tom Brady that, there's no hardcore evidence that he had any communication with anybody and knew any knowledge, had any knowledge when it comes to the deflation of any footballs during that time period. We will never know what those text messages had to say. And the NFL lacks subpoena power to force Brady to comply with submitting those messages. But it does look incredibly fishy that Tom just so happened to switch phones from his Samsung to the brand new iPhone 6 right around that time period. Why would he switch phones? Why not just ride? I mean, when it comes to my cell phone, I always have my cell phone throughout the duration of the contract. I always sign a 2-year contract, and I never switch, you know, during that time period. So for me, everyone's not the same. I'm not saying everyone out there is the same when it comes to their cell phone, but it does look fishy that Tom Brady decided to switch his phones, knowing that the NFL may have wanted to take a peek at his phone to see what was taking place during this whole situation, during around the time of the Super Bowl. It looks incredibly fishy. Wasn't until June 18th, almost 4 months after investigators had requested its data from Brady, and 5 days before an appeals hearing, that Brady's lawyers informed the league that the phone had been destroyed. Didn't even let them know ahead of time. So yeah, that looks a little fishy, Tom. Oh, so there's so many ways you can go with this, you know. And now, this is going to be pushed to court. And I think there's a lot of individuals out there that don't truly understand what this case being pushed to court really means. Because at the end of the day, with this case being pushed to court, folks, guilt won't be argued here. Whether or not Tom Brady knew what was taking place with the flight of footballs is not what is going to be argued here. What's going to be argued here is probable cause and the timeline of events that took place when it comes to the NFL's ruling that Tom Brady should be suspended 4 games. Was it justified, and whether or not the NFL acted within its means? That's what's going to be argued. Guilt is not going to be argued in court, folks. So I want to make sure you guys are clear with that. So when this thing goes to court, there's not going to be a ruling on whether or not Tom Brady is guilty in this whole Deflategate situation. What's going to be argued is whether or not the NFL acted within its power just to justify a 4-game suspension. And the fact that the NFL has decided to go this far and stick to their guns and say, hey, you're suspended 4 games, Tom Brady, that provides a message to everyone, more civilly Tom Brady, that we are confident that we can win this case. So, hey, here we go. Robert Kraft and the Patriots versus Roger Goodell and the NFL. And you know what really gets me when reading these different articles and you know, the different tweets and seeing today's press conference? What really gets me is that this all could have been avoided. If Tom Brady, at the end of January, after they had, you know, look at this whole situation. If Tom Brady would have just came out at the end of January, after they defeated the Indianapolis Colts, and this story came out about underinflated footballs, and says, if he goes to the podium and says, hey, I did not know the pressure rules. Yeah, I like a softer football. I didn't know the rules and regulations pertaining to it. I messed up, I guess. Guess what? We would be having an entirely different conversation here on Current Sports on July 29th, 2015. What do you think? 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Had to get all that off my chest. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. How you doing, my man?
Oh, I'm doing well. I've got to rewind to something you said about 10 minutes ago, though, which was Robert Kraft deserves to be upset about this decision. He does. He does. I mean, anytime your star quarterback is suspended for 4 games in an NFL lawsuit that is basically just a power struggle. At the end of the day, that's what this is. This is a power struggle, and that's why neither side was able to reach an agreement. But Robert Kraft has no right to be upset because he accepted the punishment. Because this isn't the Senate. This isn't the House of Representatives. Earmarks? I do this if you do that. No, that's not how it should work. So Robert Kraft, if they accepted the punishment, it should have been because they were fully aware that something fishy and something wrong went on with inside the organization. But it shouldn't have been because, oh, well, now you've got to give us Tom Brady, you know, for the full season. That's not how the appeal system should work, even if that's what Robert Kraft expected. But like you said, at the end of the day, this is a huge power struggle. It's NFL versus one of its teams. It's really big. And gosh, Tom Brady, here's why I just read. His suspension could have been reduced as much as or as little as 1 game if they had just gone, you know, uncompromised with the NFL. But Tom Brady refused to accept any guilt, which at the end of the day is because of his legacy. He doesn't want this tainting his legacy.
And that's what I want to bring up. The reason why is because, you know, the big L word, legacy. When people, you know, a lot of people in sports, they always, this saying is always, you know, prevalent, you know, when especially when a player is about to retire who's had an illustrious career as an athlete. The most important thing for an athlete when they are said and done and hang it up is their last name. When people go back and bring up, you know, years from now, Brady, the last name of Brady, what is going to surround the thoughts of those individuals that bring up that name? And Tom is all about legacy, I'm sure. I mean, he wants to be known as the greatest quarterback to ever play. He's won 4 Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. I mean, he's unbelievable. He's arguably the best player, best quarterback in the game right now. And it's truly remarkable to see sometimes the lengths that athletes will go to make sure that their legacy is intact. And at the end of the day, I truly believe, Isaac, nobody wins in this situation. The NFL does not win in this situation by not having Tom Brady play the first 4 games of the year. The Patriots obviously don't win. They got to see who's going to be the backup man right now. The NFL, but I tell you what, people are still going to watch, though. But the NFL is better when you have the face of the league, of your league, playing. If something, a big scandal happened with LeBron James, you think the NBA is rejoicing? No, not at all. Not one bit. That's the name. He is the face of the National Basketball Association. At the end of the day, that could take, you know, money out of their pockets. So for the overall image, for what the NFL stands for, you know, this story is a cancer. And, you know, and it, again, we're talking about deflated footballs here. I truly believe if Tom Woodley just came out and said that, okay, hey, I didn't know anything about any, you know, deflated footballs, because this is the first time I have ever heard, and many of us have ever heard, about a football story involving the PSI of a football, you know, not being standard throughout a game. It wouldn't have mattered during that game, especially, and this would have, you know, helped Tom in this situation. It wouldn't have mattered what type of ball they would have been playing with against the Indianapolis Colts. They blew him out in the AFC Championship game. So if Tom would have took that podium, owned up, you know, to whatever knowledge he had about those footballs and their PSIs of inflation, we would have forgave him. He's Tom Brady, for goodness sake. He can do no wrong. He is the face of the NFL. But now, I just think that now that he's dragged this out and now that he's going to go to court, it really has rubbed a lot of people wrong. And in many cases, I'm pretty sure it's changed a lot of people's opinion of Tom Brady when it comes to his legacy.
Oh, you know? This dirties his perception without a doubt. Because
certainly,
at the end of the day, Kobe Bryant, Barry Bonds, some of these guys were never found guilty. But guess what people remember? That they were. No matter what happened, people remember that they were. And you're exactly right. After that game in January, let's say Tom, or I guess December, whenever it was, let's say Tom Brady comes out and says, listen, I just said I had no idea there were even PSI laws. I just like the footballs inflated a certain way. And I'm sorry, that's just what happened. It won't happen again.
He probably would have got fined. And
$25,000.
Right.
He appeals it, and he gets nothing. That's it. That's the maximum I can imagine.
Exactly.
Instead, like you said, it's July 29th. This happened in January. The scandal broke in January, and we're still talking about it. And this will go on his resume. Whether or not he's found guilty, which I don't think he will be. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's not guilty.
There's no evidence there. Yeah, there's no evidence there.
There's a lot of, you know, turn signals coming up. There's not that turn because the NFL has a broken phone. They've got, you know, a possible group message. What they don't have is Tom Brady or anybody saying, hey, he did it, and having the proof of that. So therefore, innocent till proven guilty, and that still holds true. I think all of this is going to get washed away by court, but the memory of it won't be.
Yeah, no, not at all. It's like, again, it's gotten to a point where, I mean, hey, when Tom Brady's name is brought up 5-10 years ago, they're always going to bring up Deflategate now. It's become a household name in sports conversations everywhere now. And, you know, now, I mean, you know, it was so funny, man. I don't know if you saw Bill Belichick address the podium right after Robert Kraft goes up, but Bill gets on the podium, and it's so comical because and Bill handled it like a pro, even though he did look a bit bothered, a bit angered, a bit annoyed up there, but he handled every question like a pro. I mean, they were trying to pry and say, okay, how does, you know, knowing that Tom Brady, as of right now, suspended 4 games, how does that change your preparation in this upcoming, you know, NFL year? He says, hey, everyone's going to practice. Everyone's going to practice. Everyone's going to go out there and play. And then you know, whether or not, you know, he was asked, Bill Belichick was asked whether or not he's had any conversations with Tom Brady recently about this whole thing. And he says, hey, I talk to all my players every single day. Then the question comes at him again. He says, hey, I talk to all my players every single day. Bill Belichick was a mastermind in that entire press conference. That press conference couldn't have gone better for Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. It was a knockout the park, and that's exactly what needed to happen. And I was just very shocked, though. If there's any takeaway, it's that, you know, Robert Kraft, who has been a dear friend of Roger Goodell's, we've seen him in pictures shaking hands, smiling with each other. They have a relationship. He's basically declaring war on the NFL. So now going forward, I mean, you got Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Flynn, you know, competing, you know, if the suspension holds up, competing to be that week one starter. I'm very curious, though, knowing how Tom Brady is. He's an ultra competitor. I'm wondering whether or not Bill Belichick will make a change and say, okay, we're going to make Jimmy Garoppolo or Matt Flynn, we're going to make one of these guys practice with the first team. I'm curious if that happens. I'm pretty sure it won't because he is Tom Brady at the end of the day. But, you know, that QB battle is going to be something to also pay attention to before week one of the NFL season.
Al, but Belichick's poise in that press conference should be expected, because we talked about when it happened. Bill Belichick was lucky to escape any sort of punishment because he's got a track record. The game against the New York Jets, the first gate, if you will, Spygate, that was Belichick, and he knew about that one. I'm surprised the NFL didn't look into his case a little bit more in this, but like you said, aside from him, happiest two people, Garoppolo and Flynn, and I'm excited to watch that QB matchup because Matt Flynn, LSU guy who really did well with the Packers.
Oh, of course you know who Flynn is, yeah.
Matt Flynn, his first LSU. two games, he had over 700 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He could make a name for himself once again. I'm excited to see what happens.
Who knows the exact stats of Matt Flynn? Only Isaac Constance, folks.
Of course.
Gotta love that. All right.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, I know, right? Let's hit our first break. When we come back, folks, we will be talking with Bob Every, who is the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. You don't want to miss that chat. The ceremony of the new inductees is tomorrow evening. We will be in the house for that, so we'll pick Bob's brain as well as continue to take your calls throughout this entire hour. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, you can call in right now if you want to give your thoughts on anything that we've discussed here on the show so far by calling 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, folks, the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame is proud to announce the inductees for the 2015 class. It is their 40th year. 9 individuals and 3 teams have been selected to be enshrined at the annual induction ceremony, which will take place tomorrow evening. And on the phone right now, we have the chairman of the Greater Area Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, Bob Every, on the phone. Bob, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm just finishing up lunch here at Steakhouse Philly, watching the Tigers, and I got a few errands to run and a couple things to do to get ready for tomorrow night, but things are going well. Tickets are off the shelf. It's unbelievable. This 40th anniversary for the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. We couldn't be happier with the way things are going.
Yeah, and you know, Bob, I actually talked with you briefly on the phone before we took the air today, and you told me you were running around, you know, just preparing for tomorrow's induction ceremony. I mean, what's that preparation like for you? Is it nerve-wracking at all?
Well, it is nerve-wracking, and it's exciting. And you, having been in media and television and playing sports, you know, it comes with different degrees of nervousness. You just have to make sure, because you're dealing with so many people, that you don't leave any stone unturned. And you know, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's, because the last thing you want is for somebody to show up to the event and then you've made a major goof, like you set them at the wrong table or you didn't even have them sitting at a table. It could be embarrassing. So most of my stuff now is just backtracking, making sure that everything that needs to get done is getting done. And I've got a good work crew that helps me out. A lot of the committee members are doing their job. So we believe that we're well prepared for this. And tomorrow's going to be an exciting night for, you know, 15, 20 people that are going to be recognized for one reason or another at the 40th anniversary.
I'm sure everything is going to go smooth tomorrow evening, Bob. And, you know, I got the chance to sit through last year's ceremony. Unbelievable stuff. And it seems to be getting bigger and better each and every year. And with this being the 40th year, I mean, that's big news right there, Bob. What do you guys have anything planned that's going to be a little different from years past?
Well, yeah, it's a little different because it is the 40th anniversary. And you know, we're proud to say, out of all the Sports Hall of Fames in the state of Michigan, we're only second to the Michigan Sports Hall of Fame, the big one. You know, 40 years of continuous service is unbelievable. We do have 3 of the inaugural inductee members coming back. That'd be Dean Look, Jim Sinodinos, and Don Johnson. They'll be there and receive a special recognition award. My sidekick for the last 15 years and who's been here for 40 years, Dwayne Vernon, Mr. Spartan, he is going to receive a special recognition award. You know, and then you've got your nine individuals and your three teams and your two Dick Letts Community Service Award winners, Judge George Economy and Larry Cockcroft, that does so much work with amateur baseball. So, yeah, and then Walt Lingo is the only living founder of the Hall of Fame. Bruce Smith has passed away, and Clayton Kowalk's passed away. And Walt is going to give the welcome tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so those are the special types of things that we have. But, you know, these things actually, they go forward by their own momentum. And you never know the energy level and the stories and the excitement and, you know, what happens when you get all these people together in one room. You know, it's a pretty exciting night.
It certainly is. And, you know, looking at the induction class that will be enshrined tomorrow, I mean, you talk about names like Chuck Block and Scott Kemp, Andy and Nick Simmons, Stephanie Smiley, you know, Jamie Wesley. I mean, really briefly, Bob, talk about each of those individuals and what makes them special to be enshrined into this year's hall?
Well, one of the challenges we've had before I answer that question is, you know, in the early days, women's sports wasn't quite as prominent as it is today. Mm. They put Title IX in, I believe, in 72. And then, so a lot of the people that are coming forth now and that are eligible are women. Thank goodness, because you always like to have diversity. You know, you like to have, a fair representation of your community. But when you take a look at the two gals that we have coming in, Stephanie Smiley and Jamie Wesley, both of them were significant contributors to their basketball program. Wesley, of course, at Michigan State, and then Smiley at Eastern. I mean, those two girls are tremendous basketball players, and they were tremendous athletes and softball players. You know, then you've got the two cross-country guys in town, Kim Spalsbury and Chuck Block. I mean, Spalsbury has won numerous state championships. Chuck Block has won a national championship and many United States regional championships at Lansing Community College. Then you take the two baseball players, Jesse Gallegos and Scott Kemp, and you throw the fact that Jesse not only was a great baseball player, he was a great boxer. And Scott Kemp, you know, one of the better ball players I've ever met in my life, was an All-State at Grand Ledge, played on an All-State team. He played ball at Eastern Michigan High School, University, broke a lot of records there, and then it was a mainstay in the City League out here. And then you've got your wrestlers. You've got your two Simmons. No brother act probably has won more matches than those two have in high school sports history. I mean, they're almost 500-0 when you combine their two high school records, and they account for 8 state championships. They were both All-Americans at Michigan State. Kellerman, Fritz Kellerman, he was a 3-time Big Ten champion at the University of Michigan. So, I mean, they're all special athletes in their own right, and we are so happy to have them. And, you know, there's no tremendously big name like a Magic Johnson or a John Smoltz or somebody like that, but what they brought to the community in there, you know, and they brought a tremendous amount, I think that's really kind of stirred the interest in the Michigan community, the mid-Michigan community, and everybody and their brothers coming for these people. I mean, these tickets, we're headed towards 700 for ticket sales, and I'm going to shut it down probably about 8 o'clock tonight, and that's going to be it. And I'm going to guess we'll be close to, if not right at 700 tickets.
Wow, that's unbelievable stuff, Bob. And again, you know, you also have three teams, the 1960 Hazlitt football team, the 1977.
Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're absolutely right, and I'm sorry about that, Al.
No, you're fine.
We got that great 1960 Hazlitt football team that was coached by Danny Stoltz, and then his assistant was Ed Townsend. Both of those two guys are in as individuals. Then you've got the 1977 DeWitt softball team. They were the first local area high school team to win a state championship. And then you've got the 79 Eastern Golf Championship team, the only inner-city school to win a state golf championship from the mid-Michigan area. So they are unique in their own right, and they all are excited about being here. Everybody's coming.
Yeah, that's unbelievable stuff. I can't wait to witness the ceremony tomorrow evening. It's going to be a doozy at the Lansing Center. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are talking with the chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, of course, Bob Every. Now, Bob, you know, 40 years and counting for this Hall of Fame ceremony. And really cool stuff for you. What I got to know, what's the coolest reaction or most memorable reaction, you know, that you can pull from your noggin when you talk about, you know, making that phone call to let someone know that they're being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's special. It really is, because a lot of the people that we contact, we've got a little bit of younger class being represented this year as opposed to the past years. But it's nice when you call somebody up and you let them know that they're going to be inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, because they have figured they've long since been forgotten from their high school days and their sporting days. So they're really excited when they hear that something's going to happen and they're going to be recognized at least one more time for the stuff that they accomplished and did in high school. So it's exciting. And, you know, it reminds me of that old line that Forrest Gump said, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you open up a box of chocolates. And that's kind of the same way here. You never know what you're going to get when these people get up on the podium and they start thanking the people that were instrumental in their careers. You get all sorts of emotion coming out. And, of course, the one that is really the most heartfelt is when they start to tear up and they start giving thanks to their moms and their dads and their coaches and stuff. And really, it becomes a very serious, somber event at times, but it always is centered around pride and happiness, and so it's all good. It really is, and we just have a great time. But I love the emotion.
Oh, you got to. I mean, you know, watching the, you know, those who went up and shed tears and give those passionate speeches last year, I mean, it's something to behold, to say the least. Bob, you know, you yourself have also been inducted into the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. You know, being the chairman, I mean, of course, you have to handle the logistics and making sure that everything rolls smoothly throughout the ceremony. For you, do you ever, or have you ever, you know, in recent times, taken a step back and really thought that, man, I'm also a member of this incredible fraternity? Have you ever sat back and said, wow, I can't believe I'm also inducted and enshrined into this hall?
Well, it's pretty humbling, really, Al. You know, we as athletes and human beings, generally we do things because we enjoy doing them, and then the outgrowth of your enjoyment is this kind of stuff that happens to you, and you don't really understand the significance of all of it until, you know, you're sitting in that seat and somebody says you're going to be inducted. Fortunately for me, I wasn't the chairman, and I wasn't involved in the Hall of Fame when I was inducted, so...
Right.
You know, people kind of kid me, oh, you're the chairman and you're in the Hall of Fame. But I had a pretty decent boxing career and I had a pretty decent coaching career. So I felt that, you know, quite honestly, I earned my stripes. But it is very humbling to be in there, you know, with the likes of Magic Johnson and John Smoltz and Todd Martin and Judy Brown Clark. And, I mean, you know, there's a lot of great people in that Hall of Fame. And then to be thought up enough by any selection committee that was in existence at that time, making the selection, makes you feel really good that they appreciate your efforts as an athlete enough to elect you to a Hall of Fame as good as the one we have here.
Yeah, it's got to be a pinch me moment for you. Anytime you think about it, Bob. For all of our listeners out there, who are tuned in right now, how can they get tickets, Bob?
Okay, well, like I said, we're going to probably shut down about 8:00 tonight. We do have a few spots left at various tables. They can go on to Lansing Sports Hall of Fame website, just Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, and then it'll have dinner information. Press on that tab. It'll tell you how to get a hold of me. And, you know, anybody that calls me between now and 8:00 tonight, I'll do the very best I can to get them a seat someplace. You know, if there's two tickets, I can't guarantee that they'll be together, but release-wise, you'll get in and have a chance to see the ceremony. And, of course, we've got our media table, so we're expecting you and some of the other media people, and we really enjoy your presence there, because without you guys, honestly, getting the news out to the people, as big as it is, it still becomes a struggle to sell if people don't know about it.
Yeah. Hey, again, folks, again, that's LansingSportsHallOfFame.org. Again, you have until 8 o'clock tonight. Bob, before we get you out of here, my man, I want to get your thoughts on this whole Tom Brady and New England Patriots Deflategate situation. What do you think about the new developments moving forward?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate this happened, and if the NFL would take control and say, listen, we're going to supply you 12 footballs, and we're not going to let you pick your 12 footballs, and the other team is going to pick their 12 footballs. The NFL is going to supply the footballs, and that's the footballs you're going to use. We wouldn't be having this problem or this discussion right now. I think that when something happens like this, first of all, it's an administrative problem of the people that are controlling the sport, and that basically starts with the officials, NFL officials. So let's get rid of that stuff. Let's just say, hey, you know, I mean, because think of the you're not going to have an opportunity to see a guy like Tom Brady perform much longer. And these four games that he's going to be out, somebody's getting cheated. Generally, the fan is already paying the big bucks to watch him. So the NFL needs to step in and say, okay, this is a rule from now on. We're going to supply the 12 footballs, and the officials on the field are going to be responsible for making sure that they're inflated properly by testing them throughout the game from time to time.
Yeah, and you better believe the changes are going to be made because this story, I never would have fathomed that this story would have gotten as big as it is right now. Again, very well said, Bob. Again, Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame. Bob, I'm looking forward to seeing you tomorrow evening, my man.
Okay, Al, thanks for all your help always. Take care, buddy.
Hey, you too. You too. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Wednesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports by chatting about Le'Veon Bell getting his suspension reduced in the NFL. And also, the University of Michigan has decided to do away with the Legends jerseys. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. Quick score update for all of you out there. Of course, the Detroit Tigers, they are struggling, to say the least. Of course, they are on a three-game losing streak. The date's back to actually July 26th as they wrapped up that series against the Boston Red Sox, losing the final game of that three-game set, 11-1. Ugh, ugly. And then since then, of course, on Monday, They began a three-game set against the Tampa Bay Rays. Right now, the third and final game of that series is taking place as we speak. It's actually the top of the sixth inning. The Tigers have lost the first two games of that series, trying to pull out a W here. They lost 5-2 in Game 1. Game 2, which took place yesterday, of course, David Price didn't have a great outing. They lost 10-2, and right now the Tigers find themselves down 1-0 at the top of the seventh. Excuse me, now in the top of the seventh. So, it hurts watching the Tigers right now, Isaac. I can't even watch them anymore. I mean, I have to just keep up with the game via updates because watching this team, it's like, dude, what has gone wrong for this team?
My goodness. You don't want to go blind, huh?
I'm telling you, man, I want to keep my eyes, dude. So, all right, well, let's put a bow on this show, Isaac, by chatting about some positive news for someone in the NFL other than Tom Brady, of course, and that being former Michigan State running back great and now running back with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Le'Veon Bell. He actually got his suspension reduced from 3 games to 2 as a result of a settlement between the NFL and the NFL Players Association. The league confirmed the 2-game suspension in a statement saying Bell also will be held without 2 game checks for violating its substance abuse policy. If you remember, back in August of 2014, he was arrested on DUI and marijuana possession charges. Isaac, I truly believe that Le'Veon Bell has learned his lesson here. You know, I got a chance to cover Le'Veon when he was a player here at Michigan State, and he was a joy to cover. I mean, he always said the right things. He was a media darling. I loved talking with him. He didn't just give you the cliche quotes. And he was a heck of a player. I mean, he was the Michigan State offense during my senior year of college. I tell you that, man, when he was balling out with, of course, Kirk Cousins at the time. The offense was basically give the ball to Le'Veon Bell, everyone else get out of the way. He was a freight train, and he has proved that his game can, you know, easily transfer over to the NFL. I mean, if you look at, you know, his importance to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, he is the second most important player on that Steelers roster, second to only Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback of the team. The Steelers are actually 0-4 in the past two seasons without Le'Veon Bell, averaging fewer than 15 points per game. Now, since drafting him in 2013, they are 19-10 when he plays. And last year, Bell was the second, second actually in the NFL in rushing yards at 1,361 and receptions for a running back at 83. So Le'Veon Bell can play the game with the best of them, and he was one of the best backs in the league. And I think this, you know, this suspension being reduced one game for him, you know, really speaks to the fact that Le'Veon Bell, you know, he had a squeaky clean record back in college. You know, he's got a great personality, and he comes off as very genuine. I think that had a lot to do with the suspension being reduced. I think Le'Veon Bell has learned his lesson, and it's all about the company you keep. If you remember, you know, when he got pulled over, another guy who was in the car was fellow running back at the time, who is now with the New England Patriots, LeGarrette Blount, who has had an incredible track record with, you know, run-ins with the law away from the football field. So it's all about the company you keep. If you run with Lions, you're going to be a Lion. If you run with Cubs, you're going to be, it's not going to bode well for
you.
You're
not going to win a championship for over 100 years.
No
shots fired.
I'm just saying, exactly. That's very true, too, as well. Yeah, you don't want to be a Cub, right? But you know what I'm saying. And at the end of the day, I think Le'Veon Bell has learned from this, and I think he's going to continue to have a very good career in the NFL.
Oh, I agree 100%. Another stat to throw into that mix, just to show how important Le'Veon Bell was, is last year, behind DeMarco Murray, who, of course, had over 1,800 rushing yards, Bell had the second most all-purpose yards of any player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He had over 1,361 rushing yards, but also 854 receiving yards. Right now, you could probably say he's the best receiving back who's capable of starting in the NFL. Because, of course, you've got guys like Darren Sproles, guys like Reggie Bush, Danny Woodhead. Mm-hmm. But those guys are more combos anyway. Le'Veon Bell's a pure running back who, out of screens, just explodes downfield. He's really a threat for that offense and a perfect complement to the Steelers.
Yeah, he certainly is. We just got to hope he stays healthy. That's the big thing. If Le'Veon Bell stays healthy, he is going to be a force to be reckoned with for many years to come. All right, Michigan's long and messy nightmare is over. The Legends football jerseys have been retired. U of M announced that the four-year program under which retired numbers were worn by current players will be discontinued. The Wolverines indicated to interim athletic director Jim Hackett that they were not interested in the program. And I think this is a great idea, Isaac, because I didn't like current players wearing the number of a Michigan quote-unquote legend. I just didn't like that. I mean, if the number's retired, let it be retired. You know, let them be honored that way. I don't think a current player, and first off, I think for any current player on that squad who has to don the name of greats like Gerald Ford and Tom Harmon and Ron Kramer, I mean, those are big names. And if you're wearing that number, you know how much pressure comes with that? Let's say you go out and have a bad game while donning that number. I mean, that's just not – come on, dude. That's a lot of pressure. And I just think that when a number is retired, it's that. It's retired. No current player should be down in that number. I think this is long overdue, and I'm glad that Michigan is finally awakened from just this ridiculousness, if you ask me.
Yeah, Al, this was a terrible idea from the get-go. You can say it's a great idea to remove the system, or you could just say they realized they made a huge mistake and are trying to fix it. Because Michigan – look, you've got Devin Gardner wearing number 98, which not only looks ridiculous, he didn't really live up to the number.
Right.
Sorry, Devin. But there's so much more to this story. Retired numbers are retired for a reason. They're meant to seal that player's name in history.
Exactly.
And say, you can't touch this. So then to give the number to an incoming freshman or a player who's played 1 year for you and just say, here, try to be this, makes no sense.
Yeah, exactly. I certainly agree with you. So I'm finally glad that they decided. Hey, all right, we're in this whole thing. And you know, there's issues with it. I mean, you know, how the numbers will be distributed and which players were worthy of wearing them. And it's just like, come on, man, let's move on. So I'm glad some sense has been talked into the Michigan athletic program, and they're not going to keep doing this. So all right, and also. I also want to bring up, again, the Detroit Tigers. They are playing the Tampa Bay Rays. They've actually scored, and it's actually they've scored two runs since about 5 minutes ago. It's a 2-1 lead now against Tampa Bay. So, hopefully they can pull out something in this series because, again, the Tigers just have not been great. Really quickly, we got 4 minutes left. We do have a caller right now on line one. It's our dear friend of the show, Apachu, is on line one. Apachu, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
A quick question with the comment you made, I think, a few days ago about the young lady that's going to be going to Oklahoma City, recruit 14-year-old. Isn't there some kind of policy against recruiting somebody who is in junior high or high school until their junior or senior year? Because I remember when Connecticut was interested in that girl who was the pitcher in the minor leagues a couple years, the lady who was pitching against the boys. Mm-hmm. And the coach from Connecticut called a little stuff because he had wanted to talk to her.
Right.
How is it that the coach at MSU can recruit, or is she not really recruiting her? Is just the idea of her saying that? I mean, what's the rules behind that? Can you talk to somebody who's a freshman or tell them I want to recruit you or whatever? Isn't that somehow against us? The policy for the NCAA?
Well, there is an age limit. I will say that. As to what that exact age is, we can definitely do some research. Because I remember Gino Auriemma, if you remember, Monet Davis, who was the pitcher for that
team. That's the one.
Yeah, Monet Davis, she was an outstanding player, and her dream was to actually play women's college basketball for Gino Auriemma and the UConn basketball team. And Gino came out and said, yeah, we'll take her. And that little comment got him into some heat.
Because she
wasn't a certain age. There is a certain age cutoff for that. As to what that age is, we can definitely do some research and bring that to you tomorrow, Apachu.
Okay, I'd like to hear that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, certainly. Bye. Thanks a lot. Great call as always, Apachu. Got to remind you all that, hey, I'm suited and booted right now after our recording here. I got to head on down to the WKAR-TV studios and sit down with Darius Ward, who is the head coach for the boys varsity soccer team in Hazlitt at Hazlitt High School, as well as the head girls soccer varsity soccer team at Okemos High School. So, yeah, he's doing double duty. He's got an incredible story. He's actually from Liberia. And the story of how he ended up right here in Mid-Michigan is very compelling stuff. So that will be your current sports TV guest. Again, if you want to be a part of that live studio audience, all you got to simply do is go to WKAR.org to sign up online for free. Show up here at the Communication Arts and Sciences Building in about an hour, because we tape at 3 p.m. If you can't, hey, you know that we air current sports TV each and every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Also got a shout out. Hey, Isaac, have you seen the beef that's going on with Drake and Meek Mill?
Ow, I've been following.
Drake responded, and his verse is unbelievable. I listened to it this morning.
The new song features the Toronto Blue Jays winning the 93 title.
It does.
Over Philly.
Yeah.
On the cover art. It's amazing.
Yeah, Drake. Yeah. Meek Mill, I don't even know how he's going to have a career after what Drake had to say about him. But anyway, all right. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning into WKAR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Bob Every, chairman of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, for joining me today. Take care. Have a fantastic hump day. And be easy, people.